And now our movie moles, Denise Morris and Jan Hocken, are here to discuss and look back at a 2004 film, The Manchurian Candidate, and to think about the role corporations can play in ramping up paranoia during elections. Denise?
Thank you, Clayton. We are indeed this morning reviewing the 2004 remake of the 1962 classic film, The Manchurian Candidate, directed by Jonathan Demme. Both films are based on Richard Condon's 1959 novel of the same name. Demme's Manchurian Candidate replaces communists with corporations and the Korean War with the Gulf War. Denzel Washington stars as Major Bennett Marco, a war veteran who begins to doubt what is commonly known about his famous U.S. Army unit. During the Gulf War, Sergeant First Class Raymond Shaw, played by Liev Schreiber, supposedly rescued all but two members of his unit, of which Marco was the commanding officer. Shaw became a war hero and was awarded the Medal of Honor, launching his political career. Shaw, now a U.S. representative from New York, has been manipulated into becoming a vice presidential candidate by his over-invested senator mother, Eleanor Prentice Shaw, played by Meryl Streep. Manchurian Global, a corporation modeled after defense industry corporation Halliburton, is behind the scheme to deliver, quote, the first privately owned and operated vice president of the United States. Now, in the context of perpetual war on terrorism and using the politics of fear to gain politically, the Shaw campaign rallies itself around the slogan compassionate vigilance and tells voters, quote, I know how much Americans have to fear today. I believe that freedom from fear is not negotiable. We must secure tomorrow today. And it has a 1984 kind of tinge to it as well. So, Jan, you actually have a lot of expertise to lend to this review, given that you've done a lot of work around PTSD, a lot of work around veterans' mental health, and also memory, which plays a large role in this film. Yourself and other reviewers have noted that this film is sort of like the Gulf War syndrome goes to the movies.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting to, you can do a number of things with this film in the present context. We could spend a whole hour on lessons to be learned from The Manchurian Candidate. I mean, both films, I think it's useful to remember that both films came to the cinemas during a period of palpable acute political crisis where many people felt the world was coming to an end as they knew it. The first Manchurian Candidate film came to the cinemas in October 24th, 1962, in the middle of the Cuban Missile Crisis, when the Cold War came really close to a nuclear war with Cuba that was part of the JFK administration. And the first film also really registered a lot of the Cold War anxiety about the Korean veterans and brainwashing. There was actually a very extensive CIA program in the 50s studying mind control and the role of LSD and other hallucinogenic drugs in inducing altered states, and whether you could implant a command in a person through hypnosis that they would execute later, even if it went in opposition to their moral beliefs. And so there was a lot of this, the dark methods of psychology that were mythologized in the film and in the broader culture, thinking you could hypnotize people and hypnotize soldiers and to get them to do horrific things. In actuality, though, soldiers do horrific things under the command of the military, but not in the way that the Manchurian Candidate envisioned it or people involved in these mind control experiments envisioned it. So I think that's kind of an interesting way in which a film takes some amount of reality and then enlarges it into a kind of paranoid worldview. Similarly with the Gulf War syndrome, in this, there was this sense of soldiers in the Persian Gulf War being injected or implanted with experimental forms of mind control, and then they become plants for carrying out assassins when they return home. Actually, there is a lot of anxiety about veterans coming home as walking time bombs, as people who've been morally contaminated by war. But these films kind of take it in a very concrete direction and particularly with this idea of mind control that's there in both films.
And certainly there wouldn't be any lack of evidence to show, in terms of the 2004 film, that a corporation could take the role of this other menace, that red menace that was created and was pretty hypnotizing for the American public. But still, somehow the film had to create some level of paranoia to fulfill the dream of what of the message of Manchurian Candidate. And we've talked a lot about paranoia, its role in the political imagination, and its detriment to paranoia and conspiracy in real politics. And paranoia being just a brief, because you can speak to this a little bit more, just this meant understood as a mental condition characterized by delusions of persecution and typically elaborated into an organized system. So the political landscape is a perfect place for paranoia to take form, with all of our secret government agencies and, you know, the role of corporations, the role of veterans in politics over time.
Yeah, and I think paranoia plays well at the movies, because a lot of people do feel persecuted by hidden forces that are kind of veiled and operating in secret. And Jonathan Demme, the director of the 2004 version of Manchurian Candidate, also spoke to the sense of apocalyptic crisis of the period. It was right after, of course, 9/11, the bombings that followed, the rollback in civil liberties, and he was asked about the paranoia of the film, and he said, well, we have a lot to be paranoid about.
During that election cycle, Bush was running again for a second term.
There's a lot of also ways in which the role of the military in presidential elections, which I'm sure we will return to many times in the upcoming period, that in presidential elections, actually in the political class in general, veterans are fewer and lower percent of the political class. It's a dropping number of veterans who actually serve as part of the political class. But veterans still play an important symbolic role. And I think that was kind of an interesting aspect of the remake, because there was always this question of George Bush Jr., how he had gotten out of military service. Veterans are routinely trotted out for their symbolic role in the defense of the country. And there's always
that authentic relationship to defending, you know, America and defending its freedom and
right,
protecting people from the horrors of terror, you know, yeah, all of it.
And his malevolent, evil mother in the 2004 version, who is scheming to get her son into power as president. She fights for his candidacy, saying, who better can win an election than a battle-tested combat veteran who faces the dark night, evil in the dark night of the desert, you know? And as it turns out, the film also exposes this as a myth, because her son is an instrument of these malevolent forces and has no mind of his own, and all of them have been kind of morally corrupted by the war. So it kind of plays with this idea. And in somewhat of a parody, too, there's an element of camp or parody in satirical side to the 2004 version and the way politics play with veterans and the symbols of war.
I thought it was entertaining. I don't think that now, reflecting 12 years back, the idea of corporations as these evil manipulative entities to be paranoid about is, you know, it seems kind of a common experience, but the film is an entertaining film, and I think what it has to offer is happening on a completely different level than just that element of the corporation and its role in politics. And so, moving on to the character of Marco, his role in this is to be kind of the vessel that brings us through his processes of remembering what happened. And
he's the veteran who led a platoon that was mysteriously wiped out, and they've actually been the subject of a mind control experiment. But his nightmares are the kind of the revelatory truth of what actually happened. And so he's tortured by nightmares, by symptoms, and that this was also, I think it registered the Gulf War syndrome politics, and that by and large, that generation of veterans rejected the diagnosis of PTSD. They felt something had been really done to them on a medical, physical level, and the PTSD really was a whitewash. It was a way of saying you're crazy when they felt they had been neurologically damaged by experimental drugs and that kind of thing, and that their nightmares were actually carrying some truth of that. They weren't delusional. And so there was very much that sensibility. And I think people often forget or are not aware of the struggles historically over how to think about the suffering of veterans and what they're bringing home and how much they carry the truth of the contradictions and the lies of the military, and not simply that they've been shell-shocked by their service.
Right. And Marco says at one point regarding the incident of the unit and the attack and the saving and all of that that happened that led to Shaw becoming decorated as a war hero. He says, I remember that it happened, but I don't remember it happening. And that carries that sensibility that you're getting at right there, I think.
Yeah, and I think it also registers some of the romantic sensibilities around memory and trauma of the 1990s, that even though he's had these memories implanted in him, there's some part of his being that holds the essential truth of it, a kind of uncontaminated, pure truth of what happened. So it's, I think, an interesting film to give us a little distance from the present and to realize that there's been this sense of the world coming to an end as we know it through the power of evildoers for a very long time.
Yeah, it's not, unfortunately, nothing new. And as we've been saying this morning on The Old Mole, we've been through tough times before. We'll be tracking those tough times.
And you can overstate the power of the global ruling class.
Exactly.
And there's some element of that in this film, the Manchurian Candidate as well.
Yeah. Well, this is Denise Morth with Jan Hocken. We've been reviewing the 2004 remake of The Manchurian Candidate for the Old Mole Variety Hour.